Do you ever feel like you're drowning in work? Like you just can't get ahead? I know I've felt like that, but I don't anymore. What if you were at the top of your game, had more personal time and planning time, and felt less stressed at work? So my next question for you is, would it be of value to you to learn how to be more effective and productive and get back hours in your week? And of course, feel calmer at work. Well, this episode is going to help you do exactly that. Work less and be more successful. Stay with me if that's something that you want. Welcome to Leading with Grace. I'm your host, Jen Reimer, leadership expert, speaker, and coach, and I am here to help you experience a new way to thrive as a female leader in work and in life. This is where we break free of outdated societal paradigms and subconscious programming to help you tap into your intuition and step into your feminine power so that you can lead with grace and courage. Every week, we're going deep with experts and insights to help you experience those epiphany moments that change everything. You'll reconnect with your innate wisdom and lead the way women were intended to, naturally, powerfully, and gracefully. Let's begin. I've had a ton of women complain to me that they're so busy, it's crazy. So I ask, how are you, to people? And they answer, oh, I'm so busy, Jen. It's crazy how busy I am. It's so hectic. They tell me they're overloaded with work. They're so busy delivering and meeting deadlines that they can't get to the important stuff. They're firefighting all day. And some have even said they feel like they're busy sometimes without even a purpose. And these are smart, strategically minded, high performing corporate women and entrepreneurs. Sound familiar? It was me. And if this is you, I'm willing to bet that if you're like me, you can't think straight when you arrive home or when you leave your desk. You bookend your day with a glass of wine to wind down. Half the time you aren't even present because your mind is still on work, whether that's the evenings or the weekend. And you do the important work after five or even after dinner with a glass of wine in front of you. Oh, and if you're over 40, you're probably also struggling to sleep. Maybe you're lying awake for 2 hours in the middle of the night, like I still sometimes do. When I get really stressed, is this resonating? So if it is, to fix the problem, maybe you're thinking you just have to be more productive. I'm just going to get through this project and it'll get better. I'll just push through and bear it. And as I record this, it's April. So maybe you're thinking, I'll just get through this quarter and then in the summer, I'll slow down. And then in the summer, you don't really slow down. None of this works. Disciplining yourself to change your work style or to stop at five is like disciplining yourself to stick to a diet. It might work for a little while, but then you fall off the wagon. Because it's the same thing as dieting until you release the subconscious stuff, the emotions underneath this behavior. You're never going to change. And if you haven't heard that about diets, that's what I did to lose a whole bunch of weight, but that's another story. And here's the big misconception about this. This is normal and it's just part of the gig. So here's what people think. Being busy is just part of being a leader or part of business, part of being an entrepreneur. It's just part of my job and there's no other way. Because I have so much responsibility and people need me, and I can't pull back on my career. And the truth is, it actually has become normal, but the myth is that it has to be this way. It does not have to be this way. Our society has normalized it and told us, either directly or indirectly, from society, media, and people around us, our parents. And it has also told us that being busy makes us important and valuable. The busier you are, the more important you must be. So if you're busy, oh, you must be successful. We've started to equate the two. Conflate the two, actually, I think is the word I'm looking for. I had even caught myself being a little bit embarrassed when I wasn't that busy. In front of my own sister. One of my sisters is the chief investment officer at a big company. And she doesn't even work that hard. She works hard, but she doesn't work that long. She usually works like a 9 or 10 hour day, which actually is long, way longer than we should be working. But anyway, over breakfast one day, we were talking about our morning routines and stuff like that. And she talked about how she starts work at 8. And I was a little bit embarrassed when I said, I don't start my day till about 9, sometimes even 9:30. And I had to catch myself still after I've done a whole bunch of work to drop this belief. And here's where it started. It starts with our parents. But one of the big things that fueled it when I was in adulthood was when I finished MBA school. This was years ago. And we had this little reunion with a bunch of friends after we had finished. And they were all finance guys, and they were bragging about how many hours they were working. They were talking about, oh, I worked 60 hours. I worked 80 hours last week. And I sat back and made myself really small because I was working an 8 hour day in this. And if you could see me right now, I'm doing air quotes, in this cushy job. I worked 9 to 5. I wasn't really stressed at my job at the time. And I was embarrassed by that. I felt a bit ashamed, which is completely ridiculous, but it started me on this path to busyness, because the message I took from that was, they're all making more money than me and they're bragging about it. So being crazy busy is going to make me more successful and better and valuable. So, and I wanted that. So I started looking for work, more work. I was asking for extra projects at work. I was trying to be busier. I wanted to be busier. Isn't that crazy? But the second thing that was really underneath this was the conditioning I got, not just from my parents, but it was how I learned to cope with life. So certain behavioral patterns that I learned as a child, combined with this conditioning that I should be busy and I should hustle to be successful, and these coping mechanisms that I learned, combined with that, made me even busier. So I call these coping mechanisms managerial masks. And I call them masks because we put them on when we feel vulnerable without even knowing. Most of the time. So for example, when you're criticized, many women that come to me, they're criticized, they get busy. That's what I used to do. So when I'm criticized by my husband for not putting stuff away in the kitchen, it really triggers me for some reason. And I start putting stuff away. I start cleaning out the dishwasher and I add all these other things. I don't just put the stuff away. I do all kinds of stuff to make me feel like a better wife. Because in my world, a clean house is one of the things that makes me a good wife and a good mom. So if you bring that to work now, if we're afraid of being criticized or embarrassed or some other negative emotion, Our brain sees that as a threat and it sends us into action. So if I'm criticized for a piece of work I did, or I think a piece of work I did wasn't good enough, I get busy showing that I am busy. I am good enough. I take action. If I miss my numbers and I'm afraid of being criticized for my tar for missing my targets, then I'm going to get busy making sure I hit them next month. And quite often, this action that we take in response to these is busy, busy work that is not always the important work. So then, because we're not doing the important stuff, these masks, these coping mechanisms, mask our true value. So what these masks that I'm going to talk about now, what they really do is they cause defective action. And I call it defective action because it's that busy, busy work that doesn't always get results. Things like spending too much time on reports instead of actually getting results, formatting the font sizes and getting everything lined up in your PowerPoint presentation, getting the right picture for your PowerPoint presentation when it doesn't matter that much, solving urgent problems, but the ones that aren't necessarily that important. That's defective action. And sometimes it's good, but a lot of times it doesn't get results and it doesn't keep you, it causes you to become misaligned with company priorities and your own priorities. And that's why I call it defective. So, what are these masks? As I said, they're coping mechanisms that we have learned as children to help us get through life. So they probably served us in some way as a child. So what are they? Perfectionism, people pleasing, being strong and independent, hesitating, be a hero, and guilt. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about each of these, and you might already be recognizing one of these in yourself. And I'm going to talk about not just what do they look like, but how they are causing defective action, how they are causing unnecessary busyness. The two most common ones that I see in my coaching clients, my leadership program clients is perfectionism. And then the other one is people pleasing. So let's talk about perfectionism first, because often women know they're perfectionists. But if you don't, stay with me, because perfectionism can be very sneaky. Because we have this another normalized thing in both corporate and entrepreneurship is to produce high quality work and excellence. And those are good things, don't get me wrong. Of course, we want to produce high quality work. But sometimes we don't realize that we're striving for perfection. You might just see it as high standards. I certainly did. I always set high standards for myself, and I prided myself in those high standards. And I also set high standards for my people when I had a team reporting to me. So it's good to have these high standards when it really counts. But as you probably heard before, there's often 20% of that perfection that doesn't really matter. So I'm talking about almost a compulsion to have everything to a certain standard, even when it doesn't matter. So it's like striving to have outcomes the way they should be, quote unquote, should be. So this standard might be arbitrary. You might not even actually have consciously set it. So if you recognize yourself in this, one of the things you can do is ask yourself what success looks like for a project. So if you're working on a presentation, what does success look like? Does it have to be perfectly formatted with not one single typo? Maybe if it's a board presentation, But maybe not if it's a quick team meeting that you have every week or every month. And most of the time, you're probably not reaching this standard. It's never good enough. Okay, next one, people pleasing. This one is about making everybody happy and don't rock the boat. So your intention might be to serve and please others. But this is constantly putting other people's needs before yours. So this was a huge one for me. I was a perfectionist and I didn't realize it at first because I didn't see it just as high standards. But I'm a big pleaser. So I'm constantly worried about other people's time rather than my own. I put their needs in front of mine. So this looked like I hated asking people for help, especially my boss. I didn't want to bother her or him because I was putting that person on a pedestal. It's also this difficulty saying no. So when the leadership advice talks about setting boundaries and saying no to things, if you're a people pleaser, you are going to have a really hard time following that leadership advice because you don't want to disappoint people. And underneath that is not just a fear of disappointing people, but it is a fear of the shame you might feel when someone's disappointed. Think about that. That was really big for me when I realized that. Pleasing isn't actually caring what other people think, it's a fear of the so-called bad emotions that we're going to feel if we disappoint people, if people aren't happy, if we offend someone. So that's what it looks like. I'll give you a little story. I was working for Nestlé at the time, and my job was to implement a new planning process. So I was implementing a new process, and I was new to that office. And so what I started to do was find out what was working about the process as it currently was standing. So I was asking people what's working, what's not working. And then I started to implement the new process and I was constantly asking people what would work better. Would this work? I was getting their opinions on what was going to work and how it should look. And I was spending huge amounts of time in meetings trying to please everybody about what this process should look like. And I kind of saw it as politicking a little bit, like getting buy-in for this new process. And yes, it was to a point, but I was going overboard. And at one point, I was talking to a colleague and he said, "Jen, stop trying to please everybody, stop trying to compromise, and just go do the thing." And it didn't hit me at the time, but looking back on it, that was detrimental and pervasive in my career. I was spending so much time, I was wasting other people's time and my own because I was afraid to offend anybody and I was afraid that people weren't going to be happy. So I was trying to find compromise all the time. So that could be huge for you in your career. Okay, the third one. So we've done people pleasing and perfectionism. The third one I call hesitate. And I used to call this overanalyzing, but a lot of people, including me, don't think that they're overanalyzers if they're strategically minded. Because I'm a big picture thinker. I don't like details. But what I did do was I hesitated to make decisions. So we're told, of course, to make fact-based decisions. But what I would do is collect more and more information and run scenarios or ask my people to run more scenarios, causing them busyness because I was uncomfortable making a decision. Because, of course, there's always interpretation and guesswork in predicting the future. So I didn't trust myself to make a decision and I would look to the facts. And the problem is that numbers and facts can only take you so far. There's always that little bit of what people often call the art of making decisions. So I was afraid, I didn't trust myself. And then I was told by society, don't listen to your intuition, we need to make facts. So I would hesitate to make decisions and I would get opinions about making a decision because I was seeking to find the answer externally instead of within me. And I was always looking for the one right answer. So what this does is it creates more stress and it causes your brain to analyze decisions and to constantly be overanalyzing problems. And this could even show up as like overanalyzing situations at work and criticizing yourself after the fact for getting the wrong answer or for making the wrong decision. So hidden within this is this inner critic, this self-criticism that can keep you up at night, either trying to make a decision or analyzing a decision that you've already made or actions that you've taken in the past, this wishing that you could go back into the past. Okay, fourth one, be a hero. So here's, in short, this looks like firefighting. If I solve a crisis, I'll be a hero. I'll get rewarded, people will like me, I'll be important. So it might look like jumping in to rescue others by solving their problems. So if you've been told you're a micromanager, this might be one of your patterns. You might see jumping in to rescue your team. Like let's say your team comes to you with a problem. And I was always told in my leadership courses, don't give them the answer to the problem. Ask them what they think the response should be or what they think they should do. But I had a really hard time getting myself to do that because if I solve their problem and give them the answer, then I'm important and I'm valuable. Or it could be that you're jumping in because you want to protect them or you think a project's about to fail and you want to maintain your reputation too. And it could also look like jumping in on email threads unnecessarily, because that makes you not only look important, but it makes sure that the projects are successful. So you'll get rewarded and you won't look bad. So you want to be a hero instead of looking bad. And of course, when you don't give space for others to offer solutions or figure it out for themselves, it makes you busier. You're thinking, oh, I'm getting my hands dirty. This is a good thing, which can be a good thing, of course. But if you're doing it all the time, you're just trying to control. Okay, and the last one is guilt. And I used to call this guilt-ridden responsiveness. But now I feel like it's just, after talking to so many people, it's more like just you're driven by this guilty feeling, which is very close to people-pleasing. So in terms of responsiveness, it's like responding to emails and messages immediately. So you might find yourself caught up in responding and you get stuck in email, even though there's a whole, you know, there's more important things you could be doing because you almost feel compelled to respond immediately. So this can include accepting meetings that are outside of working hours or on weekends because you feel guilty saying no, or you feel like you have to be there, even though it's not necessary for you to be there. And you get stuck responding and reacting because you feel this sense of guilt when you're making people wait, or you feel a sense of guilt when you're not helping. All right, that wasn't the last one. The last one is, I call it over accountability, so, or carrying the burden. So a lot of women I talk to and clients are unable to, or what they do is they take too much responsibility for everything that's happening around them. Some of my clients feel like they need to take responsibility for other people. So they feel a bit torn because they need to be there for their people. They feel their people need help, or it's important to be there for people. But then, because they're managing a team of people, they're const that's all they're doing. It could also look like feeling guilty giving work to others. I used to feel this, like I felt guilty giving my team, delegating to my team sometimes. I was a pretty good delegator, but sometimes I felt guilty giving them work that I didn't want to do, because then they might not like it either. And I felt like I should carry the burden of our team's results instead of actually making my team accountable for results. And if I looked at the leaders I admired, like the CEO of the company does not take responsibility for everything that the executive team is responsible for. They give accountability to their team and they don't feel like it's on them if something goes wrong. They hold their executive team accountable. And a lot of women feel really uncomfortable doing that. So that's carrying the burden. Okay, so people pleasing, perfectionism, be the hero, hesitate, guilt, and carry the burden. Those are the six. And all of these things lead to unnecessary busyness and will keep you stressed and even burnt out. They burnt me out at one point. So I get it. There will always be busyness and busy times. But I have found that by releasing these behavioral patterns, my clients have had huge results. Like outcomes like going from 14-hour days to 9 or 10-hour days. That's getting back 4 hours a day. So what can you do? Let me give you a couple of actions you can take. The first is to admit your contribution to your own busyness. So you might want to blame it on other people. People dropping stuff on your plate, your workload, all that stuff. Admit that you might be causing it and that these coping mechanisms, these managerial masks, could be part of your problem. And just admitting that is one step forward. It's like any other addiction. Admitting that you're the problem is the first step. The next, identify which one of these patterns you are most susceptible to, or the pattern that you're embodying the most. And probably as I've been talking, you've noticed, you've been able to catch a couple. For me, it was almost all of them. But there were a couple that were more prominent for me. And the third thing is start catching yourself. So at lunchtime or at the end of the day, take a couple of minutes to just take stock of what you've been doing and where you might have been acting from one of these patterns. And then the fourth step is to learn how to release them. I have a quiz that can help you identify which is your biggest culprit and how to start releasing it. So if you're a perfectionist, the quiz will help you identify that if you haven't already. And then you can also learn how to start releasing it. So I give some results. There's a video and there's a written part that can help you start releasing that. So go take the quiz as a first step. I recommend it. It takes 60 seconds to take the quiz. And you can find it at the website virtuousradicals.com/quiz. Virtuousradicals.com/quiz. And I'll put that in the show notes as well so you can go take it. So by doing this, you can drop some of the unnecessary stuff so that you can start getting back more time for the strategic work that you know you're capable of and you're not getting to. But also more time for your personal life. And after one session, if I'm doing a one-on-one coaching client session, my women start to get back an hour a day. even when the external situation doesn't change. So, what action are you going to take if you recognize these habits in yourself? And what are you going to do next? I would love to hear it. Go to my Instagram account and send me a DM, Jen Reimer Leadership, and send me a DM and let me know how it's going. I would love to hear it. So, I hope this episode has served you in some way. If it did, and if you loved it, share it with your friends, share it with your colleagues or your team, and save it for when you need to remember and you need that reminder. And I'll see you soon. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening. If this episode was helpful for you, share it with a friend or a colleague. You can also share it on your social. Just screenshot it and tag me at Jen Reimer Leadership. And of course, rate and subscribe to this podcast. I'll chat with you soon.